So, I know that for many of us, we've had a really exciting week and weekend so far, the build-up towards Christmas Eve on Friday night, exciting time for Christmas. Seems like, interestingly, there's a number of folks that have birthdays around now, too, that are in our community or connected to our community, and so those are probably extra exciting days in ways that others might not have if they didn't have that connection to a birthday as well, but I know that the day after Christmas can often feel like a little bit of a letdown. But I was excited, like I mentioned during the children's message, to remember that there is another special holiday for many people around the world in Boxing Day, which of course I learned about, as I said, from first watching soccer in England and hearing them talk about Boxing Day and the festive fixtures on Boxing Day, all the different games, just like we do Thanksgiving special with football or New Year's Day special with football. But I'd never really thought about where did the full story and background of Boxing Day come from. And it turns out it's not just because we have lots of boxes to get rid of at Christmas, and so British people said, let's turn that into a reason to get off work extra more or celebrate or whatever it is. But it actually goes back centuries from some really interesting and profound meanings, maybe even as far back as the 1300s, with important values behind it for Boxing Day that I think that we can enjoy celebrating today as well. So one aspect of that Boxing Day name, potentially where it comes from, is good in a lot of ways, but also has some things that maybe would make us feel, admittedly, a little bit strange, especially in America where we don't have sort of the history of lords and ladies and gentry and all that type of stuff like they have in other places. But one of the things that it's often tied back to is Christmas boxes that people would send their staff home with on the day after Christmas, because the lord of an area, wanted to have a big Christmas party at his manor and then had to have all of his people serving the folks who got invited to the party, but they had to sort of be the servants waiting on other people for that. But then those folks would get to celebrate Christmas a day later with their family and still have something. And people realized, you know what? They're doing something kind for us. They're being put out of their way a little bit, not getting to celebrate Christmas with their family on Christmas. We're going to put together Christmas boxes that are full of things from the feast, full of sort of Christmas bonuses, full of other things that we can give and share with our staff that hopefully we value very, very much. Now, maybe that feels a little bit like leftovers, and that's okay. But the idea was that we have these Christmas boxes, and we're showing consideration for people that might have consideration shown for them, not the same way otherwise. But I think probably an even more beautiful and deep-rooted in all the way to our biblical roots reason for Boxing Day goes back to the connection of St. Stephen. And so we heard the story of him in Acts that Becky read, where he was one of the leaders of the early church of helping the church remember to care for those who were being overlooked and to see them as valuable and as central to the community as anyone else that might have other reasons to be seen more naturally as important. And so even before the issue with Christmas boxes, with lords and ladies and everything else, churches had a tradition of having alms boxes that would be in their narthex or out front of the church that people would put offerings in throughout the year so that those who didn't have as much would always be able to know that they had something because of the church and because of God's example of love that would help them get through difficult times. And so one tradition of the day after Christmas was that those alms boxes would be open and everything that had been building up over time would be given in extra generosity, extra abundance, extra celebration for those that needed it. And so to tie that back to this prime example in the early church of St. Stephen, much of the church, just like some other parts of the world, celebrate Boxing Day. We don't always remember that type of holiday here in the U.S. Also, as Protestants and Americans in general, we're less likely to remember feast days that the church has historically built up around people over time. And December 26th is not only Boxing Day, but is the feast of St. Stephen. And so that is a holiday to help us remember that the spirit of Stephen, that idea of giving, of sharing, of being mindful of those who might not be, who might otherwise be overlooked, is not just a secondary concern. It's not an appendage to our faith. It is a central part of how it is that we live as a people of God. Now, if you are a connoisseur of Christmas carols, it may not be a surprise to you that December 26th, or times around Christmas, is the feast of St. Stephen. Because you might sing about it at different times of year if a certain song kind of gets caught up in your head. Because after all, good King Wenceslas was looking out on the feast of Stephen. That's when he saw all the snow deep and crisp and even. Now, I didn't know very much about good King Wenceslas. Other than that, we have a song about him that is very catchy. And I'm sure many of you the rest of today, just like me, are going to be going, and you're going to have to, you know, get a little frustrated at Rob that he put an earworm in your brain today. But we do know that, like, I typically have just kind of stopped after the first verse, which does talk about a poor man gathering winter fuel, but I didn't know very much about it otherwise. But it turns out it's this really beautiful legend of a king in kind of the Czechoslovakia area now, in the Middle Ages. And the rest of the song goes on to tell this story where the man sees this poor person who is needing to go out and get winter fuel in a blizzard and says, "That's not right. God has given me things. I need to make sure that other people around me, especially those that I'm meant to serve as a leader, have what they need as well." And so he gets one of his servants and says, "Let's gather up all the stuff that we possibly can have and find out where this guy lives. I don't care how far of a trek it is for us to walk. We're going to bring this guy Christmas abundance so that he can experience some of that gift that is modeled to us in the gift of God." And so they get stuff together, they start carrying things out, but then the servant is having a hard time because the blizzard is so fierce. And so King Wenceslas says, "I'll tell you what, give me the stuff to carry, I'll walk in front, let the wind hit me, and then you find my footsteps and put your feet where my feet have already trodden, because it will be warmer and it won't be as cold on your toes as you go." And so in finding out some of these things, these connections to December 26th that for us can so often feel like a little bit of a like extra day, let down, not quite as interesting, that we got to find out some powerful lessons from God from these new images and examples. I mean, I'll admit, it's not like our culture doesn't acknowledge that giving is important, doesn't acknowledge that remembering people that life has been hard on during the holidays isn't a really important thing, and especially at Christmas. I'm sure many of us found ways to donate or give to others in our lives. I was so glad and excited that we were able to have our Christmas Eve offering go to the people in Kentucky who were impacted by the tornadoes. That's a really important thing, that we are living out some of these lessons too. But even as we're doing our best to reflect the image of God's love, to be thankful for Jesus' gift, and think of how we can give ourselves, we have to admit that it's often easy with our holidays to say, "Yes, here's the wonderful thing to celebrate. We're all excited. We're going to get together. We're going to have our stuff. We're going to give our close circle of friends gifts, and we're celebrating all the things that we have and being thankful." That then, it's not a minor thing, but it is sort of that second thought. And let's also remember that we share things outside of us. It becomes a follow-up. We're going to be excited in our celebration, and we're also going to then, as a follow-up, think of ways that we can share some of what we're experiencing. And that is a little bit different than having a focus on something like Boxing Day or the Feast of St. Stephen when they're at their very best. I want to learn as a person to put at the very center of my celebration, not a second thought, not a follow-up thought, I want to have that first primary thing sometimes be the blessing and connection with people who are overlooked and who are so loved by God, though. I want that to be the first thing sometimes that happens in my life, because God's Spirit has come within me, and that's the way God views the world. So I want to put at the very center of my celebration the powerful act of holding things that I have loosely so that they're ready to be enjoyed and shared with other people around me in any way I can. So I like the idea that we have reminders that could say, one holiday or two holidays are going to be just about that. That's the celebration. That's the center. No second thought, no other distractions. We can remember that if we can do that, we can also celebrate not just the arrival of Jesus, but our close fellowship with Jesus, where Jesus is completely within the world. Because like King Wenceslaus, this type of celebration, this type of path, is the one that Jesus cut through the cold and darkness of the world. Ezekiel 34 reminds us of how God comes close with those who experience struggle and sees their struggle as part of his own experience, sees those times of difficulty as what God wants to actually be closest to, not stay far away from because it seems like weak or insufficient. God wants to be right in the middle of that. And I don't know if many of you, as you heard Ezekiel 34, I haven't read that passage in a long time. I'd forgotten how much it reminds us of another important 25 like Christmas, Matthew 25, where Jesus says that he'll do a similar sorting of sheep and goats, and that people can realize that when they gave water, when they helped prisoners, when they walked along people who were vulnerable, when they gave what they had, that they weren't even just doing it for those other people. They were doing it for Jesus, which means that Jesus came as close as possible, puts his very self with people who are having difficulty. So then that's our opportunity to have that closest fellowship with Jesus as well. So that means that we, when we can have those times of putting our focus in those areas, are walking right in the path of Jesus' footsteps. We can be right with our Savior when we find whatever opportunity that we have in our lives to put generosity and care for others at the center of who we are and what we celebrate. We can also take encouragement that even though this isn't always easy, it's true. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it means that we'll connect with people who we're not automatically comfortable with. Sometimes we'll have to stretch ourselves a little bit. But we have a king that walks before us, just like Wenceslaus, that's gone through the blizzard the first time, that will shield us from some of the difficulty with that love and encouragement and generosity of God, the same way that Wenceslaus walked through the storm for his servant. Jesus, our King, is doing it first. He's supporting us in aspects that might be a little bit difficult. So all we need to think about is, am I following in the footsteps that I can see in front of me? And in the upcoming year, we'll be looking at how we can continue to do that together, just like supporting folks in Kentucky, things like what we do with the garden, any other things that we think about connecting with the community, and especially those who are vulnerable around us. And we're going to do that with stuff we have, but also with our time, with our interest, just with ourselves, just being around people who could also use having people around them saying, I care about you, I see you, I know sometimes you might be lonely, I know sometimes you might feel unseen, I know sometimes you might feel like people don't recognize your work. We can do that even with the small thing of just being around and having that love that God gives us. It might be simple sometimes, but it's always meaningful. And so that's going to be walking that path that Jesus already made, and that will allow us to join with him. And so that I hope then that we will join together in walking that journey behind our King in those footsteps as much as we can. In that spirit, we'll move to our prayer for offering, which is one of those ways that we try to do that very footstep walking together.
Please pray with me.